be people talking to me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am.
to another episode of Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. I am your host, Mr. Forrest Nance. And on my panel is Brother Rashad El-Amin, my main man, and also Brother Leon. Now, a name is missing, family, and it's missing for a reason. I'm going to ask you guys to please keep Brother Michael Collins. You guys have heard him over the last couple of months. You know the brother was down with us in terms of bringing not only guests on, but sharing his spirituality with us. I was just talking to his sister, and the brother is in the hospital, all right? And just let me put it to you this way. Keep the brother in your prayers, all right? And his sister, and rightfully so, she sounded very upset. You know, that's her brother, okay? He has another sister, too. And, well, I'm just asking everybody out there in the podcast audience to please say a prayer for Brother Michael Collins, all right? And hopefully he'll pull through this thing, all right? I don't discuss anyone's medical issues. It's up to that person to come forth and discuss something personal like that. But just know that from what I've heard, those doctors gave him something that they had no business giving him. Okay, because they talk about that's procedure, all right? And we all have challenges. We always say it every week, you know. I've shared with you guys that I have a visual impairment, okay? That's my challenge. You know, other than that, I'm fine, okay? And we all try to make the best out of life while we're here. I'd just like to say first and foremost that all praise is due to the Most High. Because without the Creator, none of this would be possible. Tonight's guest, all right, Peter Resnick, if I'm saying his name correctly. And if he's listening, well, Peter, I'll be talking to you soon. You know, correct me on my pronunciation. And the brother is, I've listened to him on the Progressive Radio Network. And he's interviewed many renowned people who specialize in their field. Very knowledgeable people, all right. So we're going to get with the brother on three different topics: dream interpretation, the debater within, all right, and I'm missing one, but we're going to get to that because he will be interviewed by myself, Brother Rashad El-Amin, who I know all you guys, you've been with me from day one, all right, our natural path, and also Brother Leon, calling from Atlantic City, and he better not be down there gambling. But the brother's from the Atlantic City area, so I don't think he gambles. All right. And I want to also say thank you for your support, family, for the green tea. All right. I had, according to my man John, who owns the green tea company, Dr. Lee's Green Tea, the highest form of ECGC, which is the most potent ingredient in this green tea, all right, which makes it the most potent tea in the world. We're not just saying that. Do your homework. All right. In fact, speaking of homework, please make sure you have your pen and pads ready. All right. And definitely you're going to need your pen and pads for next week because we got my man, John Monroe from Boulder, Colorado. All my visually impaired and blind people, and even the people that can see well, listen. Next week you're going to learn things that your ophthalmologist fails to tell you. Okay. Because the medical business is a business. Now, my ophthalmologist is a very, very nice guy. But when I mentioned to him that Bill Gates has something to do, he had a hand in this vaccine situation, okay? He said, oh, no, oh, yes. But now it's coming out. Just read Robert Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, all right? They were roommates, according to my man, Leon, who does his homework. Because let me say something to you, family. If you feel like you need to fact check us, or if you can refute something we say, then hit the number one button. I like to remind everybody also, if you have certain carriers on your cell phone, they're going to charge you a penny a minute. Once again, it's greedy corporate. Okay, so if you don't have a cell phone, please, all right, or if you don't feel like paying that penny a minute, and look, I don't know what everyone's budget is out there. You might need your $1.20. If that be the case, all right, I'm not here trying to call anybody cheap. I'm just simply saying go to my Facebook page, Forrest Nance, F-O-R-R-E-S-T, Nance, N is in nut, A is in apple, N is in nut, C is in vitamin C, which you should be taking every day, and E as in vitamin E, which you should also be taking every day, along with D3, quercetin, all right, selenium, like Brother Rashad always tells us, all right? And you're going to stay healthy. You're going to keep your immune system strong. Astragalus root, olive leaf extract. Get these things, family. All right? Swanson. Remember, like a swan and then sun, they have some very good supplements. All right? And they give you good deals. Go to Swanson. You got your pen and pads ready? Because I know by heart I've been dealing with them for 15 years. They have the best deal, and they have quality supplements. The number is 800-700-6151. Repeat that. 800-700-6151 and tell them that Forrest Nance referred you. Because, yeah, I do get something off my next order. I just ordered some hemp seed, all right, and some echinacea to keep my immune system strong, okay? So family, all right, Swanson, if you're looking in the way of supplements, all right, I also ordered some vitamin C buffered, 1,000 milligrams per tablet. I've been chewing them so long, it tastes like candy now, but it's not candy. It's something we all know you need that vitamin C. I chew it throughout the day, all right? Now, family, once again, let's keep our dear brother, Michael Collins. Now, we all know that this is the start of Black History Month, all right? And, of course, they get, but Black History Month is this Black History Year, every year, 360 degrees. Now, futuristically, because I didn't really get to look at the statement, I want to bring a historian on, along with my opinion, along with Brother Leon's opinion, Brother Rashad's opinion, and what you might want to chime in and say about Whoopi Goldberg. Did you see what they did? Now, they suspended her because she said what she said out of her essence. The essence is the core of you, okay? And then they made her apologize. Now, that just goes to show your family, okay? You got all that money. See, Whoopi will be all right because from what I understand, she invested in the marijuana business, okay? So she has a stake in that. Whoopi's fine, okay? But do you see, doesn't matter how much money you got. When you don't control things, see, another reason I started this podcast, everything is always talked about. They apologized to the two gentlemen who spent more than two decades in jail for the unjust label they put on them saying they assassinated Malcolm X. Okay, you apologize. The guy that was the attorney general, excuse me. How about $1 million per year every time he's locked up? I don't want no apology. Do something to try to help make my life right off of those years that you took from me. All these apologies, and we're still talking about the same thing year after year after year. When are we going to get tired of all this? And I'm not advocating violence. I'm not with the violence thing, okay? You have to act like come together as a human family. I don't care what color you are. Come together, all right? Because we keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again. Now, Black History Month, okay? Like I said, compensate him, man, and compensate his kids. His kids had to go without a father, both of them. One of them passed away in 2010, I believe. The other one's still alive. Compensate them and compensate their children. You had the money. You give the prison, the military industrial system billions of dollars every year. Every year you give them money. Okay, and you go over budget to make missiles to do what? Like Dr. King said, kill. That's all they do is kill. They want to take over. They want to exploit. Okay, and you didn't win the war in Afghanistan. You didn't win it in Vietnam. Everywhere this country has went and created a war, started a war, has left that country in ruins. Look what they did with Gaddafi and Libya. Do you know they started slave trade over there again? After they killed Gaddafi, that man wasn't a terrorist. When he talked about the gold denier and the OPEC countries over in Africa organizing, we don't need the American dollar. We don't want the euro. We don't want the British money. You got to deal with us if you want our oil and gold. That was a threat. And they had Hillary Clinton the old wicked woman, smiling and chuckling. Yeah, we killed them. Do you guys know that when they assassinated, sent that hit team on Gaddafi, do you know they sodomized him and stuck a bayonet up his butt? Do you know that? Oh, wait, do your homework. Mark that down. Why would you do that? That man was no threat. But media perceived him to you and me as a threat. That's why I always tell you, take this down, WBAI, part of Pacifica Network, because there's a bunch of the, it's about four or five of those stations. Get your alternative news elsewhere and stop looking at these mainstream controlled medias, okay? Also, family, all right, PRN stands for ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Go on there. And then you can also look at videos on health with GaryNull.com. Please, look elsewhere. Stop turning on your TV. Remember, listen, when I was small, the thing I didn't understand was my family kept saying, you know, in the house, you're watching too much of the Idiot Box. Remember, for us of a certain age, remember our parents used to call the TV the Idiot Box. Well, I always said to myself, well, if it's the Idiot Box, why'd you buy it and put it in the front room for? But they were right. It's just that was a contradiction like Santa Claus. Now, you could have a little old chimney, all right, 4x4, and you got this fat guy sliding down the chimney. How did he squeeze through the chimney? That's what I'm saying. So much misinformation and false propaganda. You're looking in the wrong direction. It's a distraction. Also, I'd like to dedicate this podcast tonight to my beloved Aunt Dolores Anderson, who passed away. I went to her wake today, and they played a clip I've shared with my audience before. My mother passed when I was 19 years of age from pancreatic cancer, okay? My mother, when my aunt got married, was on a picture that they did. They showed clips in the church in Montclair, New Jersey, okay? And my mother was there when she got married, all right? My mother's been gone since 1976. They were the best of friends. So, Dee, may you be granted paradise, because she was a wonderful woman. She was old school. She took her kids wherever she went, and the lady was telling a tale, you know, about how my aunt used to clean the offices and got her degree, and she started managing property for different real estate companies. So, Aunt Dee, like I said, beautiful woman. Bless her. I want to dedicate this podcast to her. Now, the person that we want to point to also, since this is Black History Month, her name was Etta Mae McKinney. She was the first, not Dorothy Dandridge, not Lena Horne, she was the first black actress who came on the screen, and she was a hell of an actress. Once again, Etta Mae McKinney. I learned about her a couple of days ago because I was going to bring somebody else in, all right? We have many different heroes. My Aunt Dolores could have been put in there. The only difference is that she never made it to Hollywood, but she was Hollywood in this area, okay? So once again, I'd just like to thank you for coming on, okay? And to my podcast audience who have been with me since day one, peace and blessings to you and your family. We'd like to thank you for your continued support, and we're going to bring you the best of, all right, what we feel as though we need to share with you and hopefully mentally stimulate you and spiritually uplift you, all right? Shout out to Shelly and Michelle. They saw me in the church, and they said, Fars, how you doing? You always on the podcast. We on your podcast. I said, thank you. I appreciate it very much. So shout out to those two. And also shout out to the sister from Social Security, Sister Muhammad, who helped me with my Medicare. I told her, shout out to her. And also there's another sister, and I told my brother I would give him a call. She helped him with his insurance, I believe it was. She's up there in the Poconos, all right? Thank you. Thank you very much. Shout out to Karen Watley, the sisters, the Grace from Space. You heard them a while back, Deborah and Jada. The Grace from Space ladies. Also, Ms. Deborah Alexander, who posts for me on my Facebook page. Thank you, sister. Ms. Dawn Lewis Roberts, who is a good friend. Also, Ms. Terry Nashville, the math teacher. She had Tea with Terry came on in the early part of the podcast. And Miss Sweet Potato Pie Lady, my girl Deborah Gaskins from high school. What's up, Deb? Pat Payne, Douglas Says. You know, if I missed anybody, I'll get back to you later on in the show. But in the meantime, before we bring on our first guest, Peter Resnick, we have brother Rashad Alamin. He's on. He needs no further introduction. Also, shout out to brother Wally Hakeem, my man. All right. Brother Rashad, are you there, brother?
Yes, sir, my brother.
All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we got brother Rashad on until we bring brother Peter Resnick on. And Jay, while you're listening, the last four numbers on there is 9972 for brother Resnick. All right. All right. Go ahead, brother Rashad. The floor is yours, my brother.
Yes. Thank you, brother Forrest, for allowing me this time. And also, I want to thank the listening audience, all you brothers and sisters around the country who are listening. I heard Forrest talk about, you know, some people who tell the truth and then they make them apologize. Listen, when you know the truth and you speak the truth, never apologize. Never apologize for telling the truth. You stand your ground. Stand your ground. You tell the truth and you stick with the truth. I don't apologize to nobody. When I speak the truth, that's it. I'm not going to apologize. I've shared information with people before, and then they got on me for sharing truth. I said, well, listen, you want me to apologize? I'm not apologizing for nothing. You just won't have me speaking no more. That's all. You know, and I'll leave it at that. Because I stand by truth all the way. So anyway, I got a couple of topics I want to share with you, but there's something I want to read to you because let me say something. This coronavirus vaccine, people, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or nothing, you understand? I just stand on truth. I know stuff that a lot of people don't know. I'm not talking about this stuff YouTube, so I'm talking about people, credible people who are doctors who know and understand what's going on and have information that the media will not allow them to share. I watched a program on One America News a couple weeks back, and I was able to record 3 hours of it. It was a five-hour panel discussion of the top virologists, biologists, scientists, and doctors. They had the whole panel on there. And they spoke about this vaccine and brought out so much information. Senator, what's his name, Ron Johnson, I think it was, who had that panel on. And let me tell you, that information was so powerful. The one Dr. Malone, they fired him immediately, the medical board, because he told the truth. But he's standing by the truth. You understand what I'm saying? So when truth is exposed, you understand? They don't want the public to know this stuff. They try to hide it, but we're going to tell the truth regardless. But let me share something with you. I'm going to read something to you. I want you to listen carefully, brothers and sisters. Listen to this where I'm getting ready to read you. Just get ready for the rabbit hole that connects all rabbit holes. Now, check this out. Now, as many of you heard, Moderna, that's the people who make that vaccine, Moderna, is in the third and final stage of their vaccine development. Now, here's something many of you don't know. Guess who the first CEO of Moderna was? A Cornell graduate by the name of Anthony Fauci, who is a roommate with none other than Bill Gates. Now, you're paying attention. Now, it was at Cornell that Bill Gates designed the RFID radio frequency identification and patented under US 2006257852. Now, you're aware yet? Now, listen. Now, let's really get down the rabbit hole. Let me take you here. Okay? Moderna was a pharmaceutical company that started in Germany, under the name IG Farben. IG Farben is infamous for its mass production of Zyklon B, that's Zyklon B, the primary gas used to kill millions during the Holocaust. And after Germany fell, IG Farben was dissolved and its assets sold off by a Nazi-turned-American by the name of, you guessed it, George Soros. And Soros rebranded the company as Moderna. And who was the primary stockholder of Moderna until his death? Jeffrey Epstein. Remember Jeffrey Epstein, the one they killed in jail? They said he committed suicide. Yes. And his role in Moderna is where he made his fortune and established his connections. So let that sink in, brothers and sisters. So wake up, people. You're being conditioned and controlled. Now it's up to you. You're being conditioned and controlled. Oh, man. I know some of you not even going to believe what I shared with you. Some of you have been conditioned to believe anything these people tell you. I always tell people two sides to every story. Stop listening to just one side. Listen to the other side, just like there's two sides to every coin. But some of you don't want to look at the other side. You know, it's just like in religion. One side of the story. If someone else comes with something, oh, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me nothing. Don't tell. Your mind is so closed, you won't even open it up to listen to someone else try to tell you something that may be more truthful. So that's what's going on here. A lot of people are closed-minded. They don't want to hear nothing else. They believe anything they hear. They've been conditioned. They've been programmed. You watch that TV as a program to program your mind. Excuse me. Anyway, I just want to share that. I hope you are, you know, going to take notes. Now, let me get off that subject. And I want to get to something I want to share with you. These are 10 foods. Have your pen and pads ready, brothers and sisters, please. 10 foods to boost what they call nitric oxide levels for sexual and heart health. Okay? Now, one of the most important molecules for blood vessel health is what they call nitric oxide. It keeps your blood vessels open. You know, doctors, they have prescribed what they call nitroglycerin to patients for many years for patients with chronic chest pain or angina pectoris. And Presidents Dwight Eisenhower and Lyndon Johnson, they lived off this stuff. And nitroglycerin gets converted to nitric oxide. But let me give you the 10 foods that boost the nitric oxide levels. Okay, and before I get to the foods, sunshine is one of the best ways to boost nitric oxide. Okay, and it also, nitric oxide regulates your blood pressure. Okay, it regulates your blood pressure. That's very important, but it strengthens your heart. It prevents artery blockage and prevents stroke. Are you listening? Now, number one, dark chocolate. And I'm not talking about Snickers and Milky Ways and Nestle's Crunch and all that stuff. I'm talking about real cacao, 100% cacao. That chocolate is healthy, okay? But listen, the raw cacao bean increases nitric oxide, and it's loaded with antioxidants. Cacao can lower blood pressure and markers of inflammation, okay? Now, unfortunately, a lot of this chocolate you buy is loaded with sugar, but if you can buy the cacao powder, which you can find in stores, I see it in Whole Foods, Home Goods, and places like that. It comes in a packet. It's a cocoa powder. It's just pure cocoa powder, unsweetened and everything, organic and raw. Okay? This is a powerful food. You can add cacao to your smoothie, or you can make your own chocolate bars with cacao. Easy. Okay? Or you can mix them with some agave and then add some almond milk, and you have a natural chocolate milk without the cow's milk, you understand? And it increases the nitric oxide. It strengthens your heart, okay? Prevents stroke and artery blockage. Next one, citrus, oranges, lemons, grapefruit. They all contain high amounts of vitamin C, which has been shown to protect your precious nitric oxide molecules from free radical damage. So vitamin C, from any source, raises levels of nitric oxide synthase. And that's the enzyme that converts what they call L-arginine into nitric oxide. And vitamin C is also a cofactor in reducing dietary nitrite to nitric oxide. Okay, so you can use citrus peel is also another excellent way to boost your nitric oxide. So keep that in mind. And I always tell people, take lemon juice. Lemon juice is powerful. Mix it with water. Take some in the morning. You'll be surprised what it does for your body. Okay, keep that in mind. The next one, pomegranate. Loaded with nitric oxide. Okay. That's the one they call the Chinese apple. And this delicious fruit, it boosts the nitric oxide and is a tremendous anti-inflammatory. A lot of you have inflammation. So this is an anti-inflammatory. It also reduces oxidative stress, which is a leading factor in the production of coronary artery disease. The polyphenols in the pomegranate assist in converting dietary nitrite into nitric oxide. And these same polyphenols block nitric oxide from converting back to nitrite. So pomegranate inhibits the formation of what they call monocyte chemoattractant protein, and that's a molecule that recruits inflammatory cells to the blood vessel lining. So this is a major factor in coronary artery disease. So pomegranate, if you get pomegranate juice, make sure you get the concentrated form of pure pomegranate juice and take 1 tablespoon to 2 tablespoons a day. Don't buy that ocean spray crap. That's garbage. That ain't number sugar water. Get the real pomegranate concentrate or eat a lot of the pomegranates, okay? There's those little seeds inside that pomegranate. That's what you want. And cranberries also have similar benefits and other berries. That's why I tell people, always eat a lot of berries because it's loaded with nitric oxide. The next one is walnuts. Now, most people that know that walnuts are high in heart-healthy vitamin E. But because of their high amount of what they call L-arginine, walnuts keep the blood vessels running freely. And interestingly, walnuts look like a human brain. You ever notice that? It looks like a human brain. So eat them for brain health as well, because they're finding out, science is finding out, that is great for your brain. It's great for your cognition, okay, for your memory, okay? And so this is something we should all be, we can, if you can't eat the nut, blend them up in your smoothie, okay? And other nuts are a good source of arginine. So, but soak your nuts first prior to using, Okay? Number five is arugula. A-R-U-G-U-L-A. Now, this is known as rocket lettuce. Arugula is the highest source of nitrates known. And this is a bitter green, but it's perfect in salads or sauteed with other veggies. Okay? You can mix it with grilled onions and use it on top, you know, of your veggie burgers or whatever. But it's also great. Spinach. Yeah, old Popeye's spinach. Okay? Eat your spinach, but eat fresh spinach, not out of a can. Okay? And you shouldn't really cook your spinach. You should add it to your salad. This leafy green is packed with nutrients. Okay, and the nitrates. So add to your salads, your soup, sauteed, or just straight from the garden, eat your spinach, which is great. Okay? Now, four more. I got my notes here. Watermelon. Oh, my God. Watermelon is loaded with the amino acid L-citrulline, which gets converted to L-arginine and ultimately to nitric oxide. Okay? And you have many people that reach for L-arginine supplements, but the body does not absorb it well. So L-citrulline is easily absorbed, which is in your watermelon. And L-arginine is basically for sexual health. So watermelon, which is one of the best detoxifying foods on the planet. Yes, you know, during slavery times, they gave us all this slave food, all this crap, all this pork and all the chitlins or whatever the heck they were eating back then, and they had to detoxify. So they would detoxify eating watermelon. Watermelon would detoxify them. So during the summer, eat as much watermelon as possible. Make sure you get watermelon with the black seeds in it, not the seedless stuff, not this man-made crap. Get the real deal, okay? You ask the grocery, does it have the black seeds in it? That's what you want. Or get them off those trucks. Sometimes brothers come up from North Carolina in the truck, and they bring those watermelons up, and most of them had the black seeds. Next, beets. Root is loaded with nitrates. Okay, and there's plenty of studies that confirm this food as lowering your blood pressure. And beets are an excellent source of antioxidants and contain what they call betalains, which are anti-inflammatory. Okay? Beet juice is powerful. It gives you a lot of energy. It's a great detoxifier of the liver. It's a powerful food. You see? So juice your beet. Or just eat beets. Either way. But beets are powerful. Another one is wild-caught seafood. Okay? Which is a good source of what they call CoQ10, which the heart needs also. That's a cofactor to raise the nitric oxide. Okay? So you can, when you buy seafood, make sure it's wild caught. Sardines are excellent. The small sardines in water is also excellent. Okay? So keep that in mind. Last one for that is garlic. Now, garlic doesn't contain much in the way of nitrates. However, it jumpstarts their production by boosting the enzyme nitric oxide, and also the nitric oxide converts L-arginine into nitric oxide in the presence of other cofactors such as B2 and B3. And studies also confirm that garlic supplements lower blood pressure and have many more benefits. So those are the 10 main foods that you can eat to boost your nitric oxide levels for your heart health and for sexual health, okay? Now, boys, I still got till 8 o'clock?
No, not really the 8 o'clock. Our guest is here.
Here?
Yeah, yes, Brother Peter Resnick is in the wings and waiting to come on, and now we can interview him, because Brother Rashad, you ain't going nowhere. Brother Resnick is our special guest, because after this, he has to get in his Lamborghini and take off. So
okay, well, let me say this.
Yes, sir.
You bring him on, that's good, because I can sit down here and eat dinner while I'm listening.
Listening to the brother. Okay. But listen, in between mouthfuls now, we have to
I know. Don't worry. I'll stop chewing when it's time for me to say so.
Okay. So, is Brother Leon on?
Brother, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
good.
I can hear you. I got Brother Anderson on with me, too.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, okay. What's happening, Brother Anderson? How you been? Brother Anderson, are you there?
Yeah, he's on mute.
Oh, okay. He can unmute himself. Oh, he's on mute? Then you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, hold on for 1 minute, Brother Resnick. I'm about to bring you on.
Yeah, what's his last four? Oh, man.
Leon.
I don't know. He's on my line, though.
He's on your line. Well, that means he can unmute himself then, right?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, though.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll let you – I guess he'll unmute himself eventually, and we'll know when he's on. You can say something. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen out there in podcast land, once again, grown folks talking, express yourself. I just had a backstage conversation with Brother Peter Resnick, if I'm saying his name correctly. And this was Brother Michael Collins' guest. All right, he came to us by way of Michael Collins, who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight. So we're going to conduct the interview, myself, Leon. Brother Anderson can come in if he wants, and also Brother Rashad, who just gave you guys a little nutritional information, okay, our naturopath. Anyway, I'd just like to say to Peter Resnick, brother, welcome this evening. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm really happy to be called brother. This is the first time I've been called brother. I was called comrade back in the Soviet Union, where I come from. I was called Mister. I was called Hey. But brother sounds very nice, so I love it.
Well, you know, we just have a natural feeling for that. I can't go with anything other than brother, you know, because my ethnicity, of course, you probably guessed it, is African American, like Brother Michael Collins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Back in the day, and I've carried that because there was a gentleman you might be familiar with. His name was Amiri Baraka, and my father put me in his organization. He was the poet and a playwright, very well known activist here in Newark, and he gave me my conscience. So we called each other brother and sister back then, the African way of greeting each other. So, but you are a brother from another mother, and I got to tell people it doesn't matter your ethnicity, still a brother, okay?
Man, wait a minute. What if I tell you that I'm an African-American too? How about that? You know,
they have some African Americans that live in Russia, from what I understand. Not many, but a few.
No. Seriously, I'm not joking. I shared a office for a long time with a very good friend. She's a psychiatrist from Nigeria. Her name is Tulu. I hope she will listen to this show. And now we don't share the office anymore. But she became a good friend. And recently I called her and I said, Tulu, do you know why I love you so much? She said, why? I said, because we are from the same place. You're from Nigeria and I am from Nigeria. Guess what? You know, they have this now, what is it called? Genetic testing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know the whole thing. And so they identified that 98.5% I am a Jew from Eastern Europe, and 1.5% I'm from Nigeria. How about that?
Wow, you must have did that Ancestry.com or whatever test.
Yeah, I can proudly tell you I am an African American too. How about that? Particularly, there is a number of African Americans that I love, that I absolutely think that made such great, great contribution. And some people, just because some because they did research, made great contributions in science, but some just because they said something that had an impact
right.
on humanity. Do you know who Washington, George Washington Carver was?
Carver, peanut
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he invented peanut butter, right? Listen
mm-hmm.
to what he said. It's so beautiful. I quote him very often. He said,
mm-hmm.
"No man can drag me so low as to make me hate him." Is that incredible?
That sounds real spiritual to me, because I know a lot of
yeah.
people who've been
yeah,
hated for
beautiful.
What they've done, you know?
Beautiful. And I listen a lot to the economist and social commentator Thomas Sowell. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's 90 years old. He's a brilliant guy, absolutely brilliant guy. Anyway, let me start my talk.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So, ladies and gentlemen, hi again. I am Dr. Peter Resnick, and my specialty is mind-body integrative therapy. Why I say mind-body? Because there is no such thing as body and then separate mind. They are so intertwined and interrelated that whatever happens in the mind happens in the body. Whatever happens in the body happens in the mind. Starting from 17th century, the four specific reasons I'm not going to go into now because we don't have the time, but clergy and medicine separated a human being, one into soul, that is the mind, and another into body, where in truth, the father of Western medicine, Hippocrates, 2,400 years ago, said, "I would rather know what sort of a man has a disease than what sort of a disease a man has." He understood that a person's inner life is as or even more important than a person's physical symptoms. So we cannot look at a person as psychological being, emotional being, mental being, or physical being. We are human organisms living simultaneously in all these realities. And the imbalance or conflict in one of those immediately radiates in all others. But these days, how does medicine work? If a person is having digestive problems, he will rush to, of course, gastroenterologist, correct?
Correct.
But in my experience, if I talk to this person and I will ask them about their life, they will tell me about problems that they cannot, they literally use the, you know, there is an expression, "I cannot stomach it. I cannot digest it. My boss is such an asshole. He talks to me like this. I cannot, it turns everything inside of me." And then he expresses himself like this, whether verbally or in his mind. Then he comes home. He has a stomachache. Without thinking about what happened at work, says, "Oh, I have problems. I ate maybe something wrong." And if it continues, they go to a physician. But in reality, these two are connected. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They are connected. So all that I do in my work is rooted in one verse in the Bible. How about that? I will start with that. And
okay.
then I will show you how from that verse, everything that happens in our life stems. And the verse is 26th verse of the first chapter of Genesis. Literally, it sounds, "Vayomer Elohim na'aseh Adam betzalmeinu kidemuteinu," which literally means, "And God said, let us make man in our image, our after our likeness." The interesting thing is in the first verse, we'll read, God, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So first, in the first verse, we are taught that there is a creator. The universe didn't create itself. There was an impulse. There was some kind of creative impulse that created the universe. And in the 26th verse, we're told that creative impulse creates what? I will repeat. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. By the way, M-E-N, in Hebrew it's Adam. It's not let us create a white man in our image, or let us create a black man, let us create a Chinese guy, a Korean guy. Bullshit. That's man-made stories to hate each other. No. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So what do we learn? We learn that this creative impulse that created everything also creates a creature. Please interrupt me if you lose me. If somebody is not clear about what I'm saying, this is crucial. Interrupt me and ask me a question. So what we have is, and by the way, I'm not telling you anything original. Right in front of me here on my bookshelf, there is a book by theoretical physicist from India, Amit Goswami. The name of the book is called Self-Aware Universe. What does it mean, self-aware universe? That is, in other words, God, the universe, all that there is self-aware. And that self-aware thing, which we for convenience call God, or you can call it Allah, or you can call it Atman, it doesn't matter. That creative impulse creates a human being in the image and likeness of the creator. What does it mean? Since we're created in the image and likeness of the creator, we are the creators. But the creator is the creator of everything. So we are creators of everything within our realm. Now, we are also told later in Genesis that creator is non-physical, which means when we read that God created man in image and likeness, God didn't roll his sleeves or take a hammer and nails and started making something like Pinocchio. No. But then how did God create man in image and likeness? Through God's mind, through God's consciousness. Correct? You're with me?
Yes, sir. I'm with you so far.
But if God, through God's consciousness, creates a creature that is a copy, a mirror image of God, it means that creature is also a creator. Through what? Through his consciousness. And that's what I am leading to. That anything that happens in our lives is our own creation. That does not mean, that would be cruel to say, somebody was robbed or raped and to say, oh, okay, you created it. No, the person who abused them is still a criminal. But we as a society, we as a community, we as families, with the count of our consciousness, creating our environment slowly. And that brings us to the tools that I use in my work. Because all the tools that I use for healing are the tools which come from our consciousness. Nothing that I practice in my work is man-made. For example, psychology. It's a man-made discipline. What does it mean? you know, it's different theories. If you believe in Freud, you believe that you wanted to screw your mother and kill your father and the whole story of Oedipus complex. If you believe in Pavlov, you believe that, like, you learn things like Pavlov's dogs. The bell rings, the dog salivates, you learn automatically. It's all conditioning. It's all man-made guesses. The only unquestionable reality is the pain of a person itself. Where the problem comes from, it's just a theory. So psychology is a man-made discipline. So is philosophy. But the tools that I use are God-given, not man-made. Or you can, if you're an atheist, they're nature-given. What do I mean? We came into this world with certain apparatuses to survive, correct? First, to survive in the physical environment. What are the senses that we have? The sense of touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight, correct?
Correct.
So it's only natural that we would receive something to survive our inner life. If we have five senses for operating in the outer life. And indeed, we have five senses to work with our minds. Because remember, we are creators through our mind. Through our mind. If you live in fear, what do you think will happen to you in your life? You will be victimized. And if you say no more, remember what happened in India. India put on its knees the greatest empire in the world, England, and they had to leave India because Indian people said, this is our land, you are guests, but you are no longer welcome. So they, basically what they said, we are free people. The same thing Dr. King said. We are not going to fight evil. We'll strengthen the good. We'll not hate you. We'll respect ourselves as free people. Am I saying it right?
Yes, sir. So far, so good.
So therefore, here are the five apparatuses that human beings have for being strong mentally. One, imagination. Nobody invented imagination. We're born with it. It's a property of the mind. Correct?
Correct.
Then
correct.
We have will. We have will. Or you can call it willpower. Next thing, we have night dreams. And then we have intuition. And, or you can call it, sometimes people call it gut feeling. And then we have reason. If you understand what I'm saying, then it means you have reason. You have this property. And I'm sure everyone who is listening to me sometimes had this feeling. They walk in the room and maybe there are 10 people and they feel something. They cringe. Something doesn't feel right about a particular person. And then they discover it's not a good person. Or opposite. They're doing something and then suddenly an idea comes. Oh, that would be nice to do. And suddenly they create something new that nobody thought about. That's intuition. Night dreams. Night dreams are super, super important. Depending on how much time we have, I would love to touch and talk a little bit about night dreams because one of the most important bodies of knowledge that we have are night dreams. There was a theologian and a physician. In fact, he was a physician in 12th century of Egyptian Sultan Saladin. The name of the man was Moses Maimonides. And he said, tell me what your night dreams are. And I will tell you not only who you are, but who you can become. I will tell you later why it is so, why the night dreams are more accurate in telling us everything about us than anyone outside or even we ourselves can tell us. The night dream knows better. So I listed, remember, so far four: will, reason, intuition, night dreams, and imagination. In fact, imagination is such a powerful property of the mind that Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination is limitless. Now, why imagination is so powerful? Before I tell you, as I said, you know, I am a therapist, and I use all these tools, you know, as therapeutic tools. So before I tell you the therapeutic value of imagination, let me tell you what imagination is in the first place, before we talk about the practical value of it. First, imagination is the property of the mind. The second, it's a universal language of all human species. You understand? For example,
yes, sir.
an object that I grew up calling apelsin, you, because I'm Russian, you called it an orange. You see, it doesn't sound the same, but we saw the same image. You understand? So imagination is a universal language of all species, human species. The third, imagination is a subjective experience. If I say home, what comes to me is my home in Odessa, in Ukraine. But when I said home, maybe for you, some other object came, some other home. It's subjective. The fourth aspect of imagination is that imagination creates forms, images, through which we store our feelings and memories. This is very important to understand, which means if I say to you now, Forrest, become happy. Become
right.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just snap and, oh, okay, I'm happy. You have to think a happy thought, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
And that you connect with an image
mm-hmm.
that is joyful. And then it becomes your real living experience. Now, another aspect of imagination is that imagination connects our thoughts, our feelings, and our bodies.
Right.
Give you an example. You are walking, let's say, on the street. I don't know how big and powerful you are, but let's say you're walking crossing Central Park in New York City, and it's midnight, and you hear many steps behind you. Image comes to your mind. Somebody not very friendly is after you. Your heart rate increases, right?
True.
You either ready to fight or to run away. It's called
mm-hmm.
fight or flight response.
Right.
So because of the images that came to your mind, your body reacted. Or opposite. Let's say you turned around and you see it's three of your friends. They saw you and they were trying to catch up. And you smile, you say, hey, brother. You are smiling.
Right.
Different response. Hormone interleukin is released in your blood, which may strengthen your immune system. Why? Because the images affect your physiology. You understand?
Right.
And finally, another final property of imagination is the source of all our creativity. the source of creativity. Somebody saw a carriage, and in 19th century, Carl Benz knew he invented an engine, and he thought, what if I put this engine in the car, and it will push the car? That was imagination.
Right.
You understand? So that's what the property of imagination is. So now, how can the tool, how can imagination be used as a tool? I will tell you. So is everybody okay? No questions so far? No.
Well, I was going to wait till you finish, and then I'm sure either Brother Rashad or Brother Leon will have a comment or ask you a question. But go ahead, we're going to let you finish. We always let a guest speaker finish.
No. If you don't stop me, I will keep talking. No.
Okay, on that note, all right, since you wanted to stop yourself, Brother Rashad or Brother William, Leon, do you have any questions for Peter?
Yeah, I have one.
Leon, hold that. We're going to get right to you, Leon. Go ahead, Brother Rashad.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Resnick, for coming on and sharing valuable information. Now, what I want to ask you, when you quote from the Bible, where it said, let us make man in our image, I just want to ask you this. Who is the us?
Man, it's such a good question. It's such a beautiful question. You know, particularly, you know, people have been pondering on this question for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, God says, there are no other gods. I am only God. And then us, which means there is a team there. The wise people who pondered on these questions came to conclusion that, of course, God is the creator of everything. And before God created, for example, human, remember God creates minerals, then trees, and on the second day, God creates angels. And even though God is the creator of everything, since the angels are there, out of courtesy, God is saying, because you are with me, let us create. But the reason I say it's a good question is because you wouldn't believe it. There are books and books and books written on every verse in the Bible. Because remember, it was written 3,380 years ago. So even what I just told you, it's one of the opinions. There are many other opinions. And I'm no scholar on the Bible. I just happened to hear this opinion, and I shared it with you. But otherwise, I'm sure somebody more knowledgeable would give you many other, at least few other answers. But the idea that for sure all through the Bible we read, there is only one God, well, only one creative impulse.
I understand
but,
that.
But
there's
but
one
for
thing
example,
you mentioned where angels is part of the us, but I didn't see in that, in the Bible, where he said he created the angels before all that. It's not, there's no verse in there saying that.
It's interesting what you're saying, yes. It's not written in the Bible that he created angels, but it's written throughout the Bible, their existence. So therefore, the wise people who studied assumed that they were created. And they assumed that before human, the angel was created. You see, because throughout the Bible, we do encounter angels. For example, when Abraham is sitting, it's written, you know, Abraham is sitting as it's written, in the tenth door, which means in his tent. And then he sees three men. First it's with men. And then when he asks them, please sit down under the tree and I will wash your feet and my wife will fetch something to eat. And the treatment, and the angels sex. So we know that they exist. But it's a very good observation that you made that it's not actually written that they were created. Many things are not written that they were created. And therefore, but then yet later in the Torah, in the Bible, we read about them. It wasn't written, for example, and the pig was created, and the camel was created. And yet it is written later, there are foods which are not clean to you, and the pig and the hare and the camel are not. You see what I mean? So it's called inferential rather than straight a quote. But that's my answer. I didn't intend to, it's the least thing I wanted to do to have a discourse on the Bible, because I am not a scholar and for sure not a teacher. I just used this line simply because I believe that we are in the image and likeness of the Creator, and therefore everything that happens in our life, we create through our mind. We create our misery and we create our beauty. Every yes. thought is like a message. In fact, there is a physicist, theoretical physicist, Fred Alan Wolf. I tried to interview him on my radio show, and he wrote very, very politely a refusal. He said, I'm over the age of 85, and I'm resting now at home, and I'm not doing interviews anymore, but thank you for inviting me. So Fred Alan Wolf said that our thoughts are quantum waves that go into the universe and come back as echo waves. And we step into those echo waves, and they become our reality. Any other question?
I want to thank you for the answer.
You're very welcome.
You know, everybody's got their belief in how the creation was made and everything, but I respect everybody's belief. It's all belief, so. But I want to thank you much, Mr. Redd.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, sir.
This is Leon.
Yes, Leon.
The first thing I want to do is give my accolade to Melanated History, and I want to say Elizabeth Freeman is the lady that I will give accolades to, because she is the first melanated woman who went to court and won her freedom in court. She was the first melanated, or if you want to choose to say black, I don't choose to say those words, the first black woman who went to court and won her freedom. The other thing I want to say is thank you, Brother Resnick, for coming on the podcast and speaking. All I can say is, Brother Rashad, great minds think alike. Because that was one of the questions that I was going to ask him. The next question that I want to ask him, I'm going to hold off, because what he said was, and I understood it, he's not a scholar or he's not a teacher when it comes to dealing with scriptures. Because my next statement is going to be, the book, the Bible, was printed in 1611.
I am sorry. I don't hear you very well.
Okay. What about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me better now? Can you hear me better now?
Okay, yeah, we can hear you, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. Could you hear me before, Forrest? Could you hear me before?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead. We can hear you now. Go ahead, brother. Continue with what you're saying. You're good now. Go ahead.
Yeah. The first print of the Bible was printed in 1611. Question, I'll just make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
We was here 10 to 20,000 years before any religion came. We were on all four corners of this earth before anybody. And we were spiritual people. We wasn't religious. We wasn't religion. There was no such thing as religion. We was just spiritual people. But because Brother Resnick said that he's really not a scholar or a teacher in these things, I will stop my statement and my questions right there. And I respect the fact that he said that. So thank you, Brother Resnick, for coming on.
Thank you. I understand your statement, particularly that, for example, the Bible says 5,000, whatever it's now, it's 5,700 years. And we know that, for example, Australian Aborigines are unbroken chain of families for 15,000 years. How do you reconcile it? But there are scholars who reconcile it, because the Bible actually talks about a particular period. And it does not, in the Bible, in the fifth book, Deuteronomy, actually it says, I have created and destroyed many worlds, which means there were other possibly civilizations. And what refers to what we know the Bible is really about only this period of history. And in fact, I spoke to a couple of scholars, and they told me this. So I totally agree with you. I don't know what specific culture you're referring to, but I'm not surprised. And one does not negate the other. Okay. So let me now tell you something else. I spoke to you about imagination, but my son told me, don't forget to tell about your last book. So let me tell you about my last book, okay? Is that okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Yeah, the platform is yours. Yeah. Brother. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, and actually, I see it's not too late. So the way this book came about, actually, for me, is also very interesting. I hope it will be interesting for you. In 2016, I published a book called Face Reading Secrets for Successful Relationships. Remember, face reading is a body of knowledge that comes from ancient Egypt, and it's 3,000 years old, and it's incredibly accurate. So, meaning, you know, if you see, I'll give you an example. If you see a dog growling with saliva dripping, you will not say, oh, let me pet this sweet puppy. You know you have to stay away. How do you know? Because the way the dog looks. So the appearance tells you about the substance, that what is inside, right? You see,
yes, sir.
Vegetables, they look wilted. So you don't buy them. Why? Because the cover tells you about the book. You know the expression, don't judge the book by its cover? Of course judge the book by its cover. If a person is eating like a pig in front of you, what do you think? He is a polite and refined gentleman? No. So the word face reading, actually the appropriate term is morphology. The word morpho means in Greek form, and logos means meaning. So morphology is meaning of the form, and human morphology is meaning of human form. So you have, for example, horse morphology. If you see a horse with long legs, you understand that it's a racing horse. But if you see a horse with this short horse, with these heavy legs, with a lot of fur, you know that it's a working horse. So appearance always tells us about what stands behind the appearance. And so Egyptians, over 3,000 years ago, started observing appearance of different people and systematizing, for example, a person with this kind of a jaw and this forehead acts this way. He is vulnerable to this and these diseases. He is impatient. He can be violent. And this person whose chin is receding, forehead receding, and corner of the jaw is small, he is very smart and very manipulative, and so on and so on. You understand? It's a body of knowledge of observation. So human morphology is taught in French medical schools, but it's not taught to Americans. So, and I studied it through French system, and I wrote a book, but not just face reading, but how good the matches would be of people mm-hmm. with different faces. So that's why I called the book Face Reading Secrets for Successful Relationships. So, but actually, the story is not about this book. I published it in 2016. And it on Amazon.com, it was selling, it's still selling quite well. And then I received within 6 months a letter from a 16-year-old girl from Romania. Very sweet. And my daughter at that time was also 16. And it's a very sweet, very polite, remember, Romanian girl, but speaking, writing in English. So nice, such a nice letter saying, I enjoyed your book. And I always believed that there is a meaning to every feature on our face because I'm an artist. I paint. And I noticed this through painting. And I thought, well, what can she do? What kind of paintings a 16-year-old girl can do? But I wrote, because she wrote so politely, I wrote to her, thank you for buying the book. Would you like to send me some photographs of your paintings? My God, when she sent me the picture, I said, I cannot believe it, that a 16-year-old, real paintings, incredible, beautiful paintings. So we started writing to each other back and forth, and she was graduating from high school, and she wrote to me, would you give me permission? Because in our school, you have to do graduation project. Please give me permission to translate your book, abridged version, from 180 pages to make it 60 pages. Would you permit me to translate your book into Romanian and illustrate it with my own pictures? Remember, I had over 100 pictures in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But what did I do? You know, because of liability, I just bought them from Google. And she
okay.
did the illustration. She translated the book in Romanian, and she illustrated it. I have it here in my file. Man, it's incredible. Her illustrations were much better than what I had. And so now I already admired her. So time passed. A couple of years passed. We go back and forth. She's
right.
planning to go. She graduated from high school and decided to go to London to study art. And, you know, girlfriends, she is now like 19 years old, so she's talking to me about friends. And I give her, and many years ago, 20 years ago, I wrote an article called Beating the Unbeatable. And the unbeatable is like this critical mind in you. critical voice in your mind. You probably heard can relate to it. Like you are happy, and then suddenly, boom, something negative comes to you in your mind and screws it up. Or you're celebrating something, boom. Or you have a good idea, and then suddenly the voice says, it's not going to work. Or you want to forgive someone, and the voice says, no. This constant voice, I don't know, probably many people can relate. I definitely have this voice. So anyway, I wrote the article called Beating the Unbeatable because I my point was that you cannot get rid of that voice. That voice is part of our consciousness, and it comes with a purpose. The purpose is for us to overcome it, to overcome it,
right?
To choose the best, to choose the path, the right path. There is, in the Bible, it's written, here before you, I have said good and evil, life and death. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. So I wrote that article. And because it's about this voice, you know, critical voice, and I'm talking to a 19-year-old girl, and she tells me my boyfriend said this, and I got upset, and then I went to sleep, and I started thinking, and my voice was saying to me, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So I decided to tell her about my article. I decided to tell about this article.
Right.
And I tell her the article, and suddenly I realize as I'm telling it that it's so visual. It's all pure images. And I say to her, Mara, do you realize that it's really like a story in pictures? She said, I was just thinking about it. So I said, would you dare to illustrate it? I will write a little bit more and make it a book, and you illustrate it. We'll be co-authors. You will be a co-author of a book.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, let's do it. It took her, man, it took her 6 months. And I'm holding in my hands now, I wish it would be a video, I wish you could look. We made it a bigger format, you know, like format of books for children, bigger
yes.
format, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a book can be for children, for teenagers, or for adults. And it's beautifully illustrated with 30 magnificent pictures. In fact, if you go on Amazon.com, you have a lot of reviews. And everything is 5-star. And everybody, okay, the article, the story is good. And they praise this. I think every single person who wrote a review also says, what a magnificent set of pictures that she made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about this voice inside of our heads that is constantly criticizing us, takes away the joy from life, threatens us, manipulates us, how to confront this voice, and how actually to make it a friend and how to make it serve us. And this is the whole technique, but now it's an illustrated technique. So if anybody is interested, do I have permission to say where it is?
Sure you do. It's a platform. Go right ahead, Peter.
So it's called Taming the Debater Within by Peter Resnick. Resnick, PhD, and it's in on Amazon.com as a paper copy. But if you want a digital copy, which is half as much money or even less, you can get it on my website. And my website, by the way, has a lot of other books and programs that I created. And my website is drpeterresnick.com. It's DRPETER, another REZ, N as Nancy, IK.com, drpeterresnick.com. once you go there, you have many of my articles and different programs that I created and a lot of interesting stuff and a lot of videos. So everybody is welcome to explore my website or to check out. By the way, my book on face reading is there, and the book Taming the Debater Within. So I did my I did my sales pitch.
Oh, you sure did, Doc.
That.
And on that note,
Mr. Resnick.
Go ahead, Rashad. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
What's the title of the book again?
Taming, T-A-M-I-N-G, Taming, like
taming
a horse.
Taming
the
horse?
Taming the debater within.
Oh, taming the
because
debater.
Because that creature is the debater inside of us. And you But you would think that this debater is evil. But no, the surprise is that it's not evil. It's not evil. I will keep you in suspense. Maybe you will be interested in buying it then, because it is a debater. It's criticizing us. It's torturing us. But it's not our enemy. In fact, it's on our side, but we need to know the technique, how to recognize that it's on our side. And the fact that it's on our side, I'm not that smart. I did not figure it out. Oh, Peter Resnick, the only man in the world, figured out. No. Every spiritual tradition teaches about this voice and also how this voice serves the good. But most of the time we see it as serving the bad. And we're resisting. And there is no need to resist. There is a need to understand it and to embrace it. And then it becomes your friend. But the book explains it, but also it illustrates it beautifully. Honestly, I'm so excited. I want this book to be sold, so because I give a lot of money to this girl for the book, for the illustration, because I want her to make, she just turned 20, I want her to make money. I make money also, but I want, yes.
Yeah, I just Googled the book. I like the artwork on the front cover with the woman. Yes, nice cover.
Right, you got it right. With the woman and inside, somebody's cheating and like driving her, right?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. That's the book. That's the book.
I just Googled it.
It just came out in December 10th or December 12th. And we already sold a lot of books. And I think, you know, it's a good present for upcoming holiday, what is Valentine's Day, you know, for somebody. For teenagers, a lot of teenagers are so self-critical, so miserable. So
is your book in audio?
No, it's not in audio. By the way, somebody suggested that I would make it audio.
The reason why is because those of us that's blind, you wouldn't be able to read. You have a lot of blind community out here, and if it's an old show, it would be to us.
Yeah. Oh, you know something? Because what you said, I will talk to my son. Remember, my children tell me, Dad, wake up, it's 21st century. You still live in the 20th century. So they're running my business. They created my website. So I will tell them that I want. You know what I have on audio? I have my book on face reading. But if a person is blind, they cannot do face reading. But I have it as an audio on my website.
You can reach a whole
on my website, Yeah,
you
yeah.
can reach a whole new community if you put your stuff on audio.
For Valentine's Day, I think that, in fact, it would be an interesting book for people to buy, Face Reading for Successful Relationships, because they it's an opportunity to really understand the person, how this person operates. I'm not talking about body language. I'm talking about every feature, your nose, the wings of your nostrils, your eyebrows, the space in your ear. Everything tells you a story. I give you an idea. I do it for money, but commercially, which means I have a presence on, what is it called, YouTube, with over 100 different readings. I do the readings for free of famous people. I have the Hillary Clinton, I have Barack Obama, I have... I give you an example for you to understand the our culture. Dalai Lama got 1,500 views. I did the face reading of Dalai Lama, 1,500 views. Guess how many people watched Prince Harry and his bride? Give me a guess. 90,000. Because people are interested more in kind of gossip and entertainment rather than great people. I did the reading recently on just recently on Malcolm X, because he was, for face reading, a very interesting person to read, very powerful character. So I did a lot. It's like, as I said, over 100 if you want to go. All you need to do is you go on YouTube and go Dr. Peter Resnick or Peter Resnick PhD. But make sure you write R-E-Z-N-I-K, not C-K. A lot of people mistake. So Peter Resnick PhD, and you will see it's over 100. Videos, and not of them, all of them are only on face reading. Some I talk about consciousness, about love, life regressions that I did with people, and so on. But I think it's interesting. But the main thing is you will find a lot of interesting stuff on my website. Okay.
And Doctor, on that note, hold on for one minute. I'm going to ask my technician, because they'll get on me later on. I'll get texted. I hit number one. I was trying to ask Dr. Resnick something. Jay, do we have anybody hitting the number one button that wants to ask or make a comment to Dr. Peter? Hold on for a minute.
Yes, sure. I'm ready.
Thank you. Bring in for my technician. Jay, we got anybody hit number one yet?
One second. I'm going through the numbers. Now.
Okay.
Okay. 5392, you live.
Hi, Don. This is Dr. James. I was listening to the gentleman. There was multiple things that I wanted to say something about, but as he went on, you know, some of the questions were answered. I'd just like to say with the debate, when that initial debate over the Bible and the use of the word us and so forth, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I do believe that the Bible has been interpreted, you know, in so many different ways and so many different languages. I don't know if we can, you know, hold it to those particular words religiously. Also, the other thing I wanted to say was, as far as like calculating time, like the gentleman mentioned years, when you go back in Bible days, like the Hebrews and so, they use different calendars. So a Hebrew year is not the same as the year we use. So there's different civilizations use different calendars and so forth. So a year is not necessarily a year. I mean, but the bottom line is when you talk about something like religion, there's been debates forever. And the bottom line, it boils down to one thing only, is what you believe. Everything else, it gets to the point where it's just speculation because you can't prove it. So then it's only a theory, and then it just boils down to what you believe. That's all. And also, I want to ask the gentleman about this inner feeling that he was referring to in his book. Would you think that some may refer to that feeling or that whatever you call it, talking to you as the devil or Satan? Would you think that would that be a good example of what that would be? Do you understand what I said? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Peter.
Did he? I don't know if he understood.
Peter, you there? Okay, there you go.
I was totally cut off. I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything?
No, nothing. I was totally cut off.
You were cut off? Okay, all right. Hey, James, could do me a favor, Brother James. You could repeat that real fast. Peter, I don't know what happened, but
basically, my name is Dr. James, and I'm basically just saying that, you know, when you get into the debate of religion, that's been going on for a long time, so there's really no answer. It boils down to theory and what you believe. The other thing is I was asking you about is the inner feeling that you said that tells you to do various things. Would you relate that to, say, the feeling of the devil or Satan when you refer to, like, in religious terms? They may refer to that as that so-called thing that you're talking about that talks to you and tells you, you know, contradicts you and so forth and so on. Would that be, like, more like the devil in religion or, you know, in that
– If people want to look at it this way, it's a matter of their belief system. You know, there are people who are atheists. For them, the word devil or Satan means nothing. Part of us that is critical. Let's call it inner critic. That's why I called it the debater, you see. Because most people, when I originally wrote this article, it was published, I believe, in a magazine called Inner Realm, maybe more 20 years ago. And I received so many letters saying, man, you wrote about me. I constantly doubt. I constantly hear this voice. So I wouldn't go as much. Yes, some people call it, in Buddhism, they would call it Hara, the tempter. In Hinduism, it's the midget. The Shiva is standing on top of the little midget, and the midget is our forgetfulness. The practitioners of Hinduism say this. The midget that is under the foot of Shiva is our forgetfulness of our true nature. So you want to call it forgetfulness of true nature, that we're powerful, as Nelson Mandela said, remember, who are we if we are not powerful beyond any measure? So we are powerful creators, and yet a part of us is this critic. So I think it's not that important how we call it. The important thing to recognize is if we have it, and if we have it, we need to find a way to deal with it. That's my answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother
You're
James.
Very welcome, sir.
Always has a front row in my podcast, so he's always asking questions. Very inquisitive man. Thank you once again, Brother James. Brother Jay, do we have any more number ones? Want to ask or make a comment to Brother Peter online while he's on?
Hello?
We can hear you. Go right ahead, sis.
Excellent. All right. I'm a little late to the broadcast, but I did hear some of the things that Mr. Resnick was saying, and I just had like a couple of questions and then a comment. Well, maybe I should start with the comment
please.
First. There is someone that I happen to know that has a great voice for voiceovers. You may want to consider him for your book. So I want to just mention that right off. His voice is unique, and he does. His voice has something rich to it that I believe would make him a possible good fit for whatever book you have that you'd like to put on audio.
Thank you.
So that's
send me an email. On my website,
okay.
You have my email. I would be grateful. Thank you.
I don't have the information just yet because I came on late, but if Brother Nance, it's Annetta. I think she should have my contact information. If you could share that information with me, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
And you had
a question.
Then, yes, the question. Can you give another example of the facial features because I missed that part. Like right when I got on, you were saying something, and then you mentioned that on your, you know, on YouTube, you did some celebrities. So I just wanted to know if you could, just for the sake of the call, if you could share another example of a facial feature that may denote something.
Yeah. Every feature.
Thank you.
Okay. When Egyptians started observing human beings, they noticed that people with different profiles, which means forehead, which could be tilted or straight, or the chin that could be receding or on the level of the forehead or protruding like Jay Leno, the corner of the jaw, like Robert Redford or John DeLeno, or the corner of the jaw like Whoopi Goldberg, which is different. They noticed that depending on the configuration, on shape of the forehead, corner of the jaw, and the chin, people reacted differently to the environment, had different energy level, which means some were more enduring than others. They noticed that some think fast, some think slow, some prone to violence and some peace-loving, some are quick-minded and some need a lot of time to think, some decision-makers and some have difficulties making decisions. All that they noticed, and much more, of course, and they systematized it and recorded it. The interesting thing was when they acquired, they realized that all these qualities were represented by features. And these features, if you touch your own profile, it's all bone. You see the chin, the forehead, the corner of the jaw, it's all bone, right? So the bones, they just grow in size, but they don't change, which means if the child has a tilted forehead, tilted back, it will not change. If Jay Leno, you know Jay Leno, right? You know his chin, how protruding it is, correct?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
When he was 10 years old, his chin was protruding. So the profile doesn't change. So they realized that people come into this world with certain profiles and therefore certain innate characteristics. The same thing with the energy type. Some are more enduring and some are short distance runners and so on. So they noticed it, and that's the body of knowledge they kept. But then the Hebrews learned from the Egyptians and brought it to the Greeks and the Romans. We're talking about over hundreds of years. And the Greek and Roman said, yeah, it's kind of true, but that doesn't tell us everything about human beings. And so the new wave of study of the face started. They started studying not only profiles, but faces. And the name in Greek, the name for face is persona, That's where the word personality comes from. So, and if you touch your face, you know, it's muscles. It's soft. So the muscles change. And what I understood is that even though 90% of who we are comes into this world, it's already preset. 10% we develop. Our faces do change, unlike the profiles. 10% of who we are is a result of our education, our relationship with our teachers and with our parents. So the full study of face reading is the study of profiles and faces. Like in my book, Face Reading Secrets for Successful Relationships, I talk about profiles, teach how to read profiles to understand them, faces, and every feature on the face. And then I take six famous couples, some of couples who had enduring relationships and some not, and by reading their faces and profiles, I explain what works in the relationships and what doesn't, why it survived and why this one did not survive. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, you did. And how can I reach you if I'm not taking up too much time? What's your email?
Go right ahead, Sister Netta. Go right ahead. You got a pen and pad. I always tell people have pen and pad ready just in case.
Yeah. You can send me an email.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Peter Resnick at gmail.com. It's drpeter, another rez, N as Nancy, IK, at gmail.com. I am a host to a show called Dr. Peter Resnick's Toolbox at prn.live. And I have approximately 800 to 1,000 listeners. So I get so many emails to this address. So,
wow.
if identify yourself, make some note from where you are, Forrest, for example.
Yes, sir.
Forrest is running this podcast, so I would know. I would immediately remember who you are. Yeah, and
okay,
for
the voiceover. Okay,
yeah.
And thank you so much.
You.
I've recently started listening to you on, someone told me about you, and I did hear you on the podcast, and some of you listening to your work.
Yes.
Huh? It was a number
yes.
that I called in, but I just knew it was good, and the content was rich, and I was like, wow, who's this guy? And so I'm still new to your work. I'm still learning, and but I enjoy it. I think you're interpreting someone's dream or something when I was listening for the first time.
Oh, right. Yes, I do a lot of
yeah.
I love this because the dreams are very important. The dreams tell us everything true about us, even things that we deny, even things that we do not want to know. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you
and
for calling. Thank you for calling.
Well, go ahead, Sister Netta. You got a quick. Go ahead. You got a right. quick. She was a guest. That's why she got an extra couple
right?
minutes. Go ahead, sis.
Thank you. I appreciate it. As far as features, the nose, like, is there, like, I saw, like, a human being with a nose that looked like that of an owl. Does that, what,
look
from
like
your
what?
Research and observation, like an owl, their nose is like a, it looks like an owl, like a, it has a hook to it. Like an owl, the bird. It has, like, a hook.
Yes, yes.
Like, what does that have some meaning as well, some significance? Or does
yes,
that mean
yes,
that the person
yes.
is mean or evil?
No, it's called conquering nose. A person conquers. A person wants to get what he wants and usually gets the way he wants. He will do everything to accomplish it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
awesome.
You. Thank
well,
you.
Thank
Jay.
You.
Yeah, I guess we're running out of time.
Almost, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Jay, can we get one more on real quick? They're gonna have 2 minutes, and then we're gonna bring Dr. Resnick back because he's well liked by my audience, and I like him, and he likes me, and Rashad and Leon. So you know he's gonna come back. We'll stay in contact.
Sure.
Hey, Jay, anybody else hit number one? We're gonna bring him on quick 2 minutes, and we're gonna have to wind down.
No, that's it.
No,
that's
I just want to
now.
Ask the sister a question. Yeah, I just want to ask the sister a question. Is she still on?
No, she went off.
Here.
So
I'm here.
Oh, she's still there? Okay, I thought she went off. Go ahead, real quick.
I just want to ask you a question, and I want to give out some information to you and Dr. Resnick so you would know.
Okay.
First of all, what is your location, miss?
Florida.
Are you here in Jersey? Okay, you're in Florida.
Florida.
Listen, what I want to say is your friend who does that, because I was the one who asked Dr. Resnick, was his book in audio, both of y'all can reach out to the Trenton Library.
Okay.
Because they're the ones who have a lot of people, like you just said, your friend does, and they're the ones who deal with the blind community where you can get your books or whatever else you want in audio. You can get them put through there, and they put it out to the blind community. That's how most of the time, get all our books, and we get the stuff that we want to read in audio, we go through that. We go through them.
Excellent.
So it's called the Trenton Library. Yes.
Yeah, Trenton, New Jersey, right, Brother Leon?
Yes.
Right. Okay,
yes,
so on because Sister Netta has been on out. Brother Michael brought Sister Netta on. She was talking about when she got off the plane in Fiji Islands, and she said she was home, but now she's back in Florida.
Okay, yes, I remember. Yes,
probably saw a high tide out there, so I'm going back to Florida.
Hey, Sister
Netta, I want to thank you for coming on and stay in contact now, because we got to bring you back on too, sis. She's on the journey.
I want to say something. Yes. It's Peter Resnick.
I'll be happy to.
For the gentleman who is blind, do you know who Chris Woodfill is? Woodfill?
Not by the name, sir.
No.
Because he's
a president of the United States. He's a friend of mine. I taught him face reading. You will not believe it. He is a president of deaf blind community in America. And he was coming. He is legally blind, but he has like tunnel vision, you know, he cannot see anything peripherally. And he is deaf. And he had his interpreter come with her to my home and studied with me face reading. And he was one of the best students I ever had. I thought you would know his name. Yeah.
No, I don't know his name of him.
Woodfill. Christopher Woodfill.
Mark that down.
He's still around.
Guy.
Is he still around?
Yes. I haven't spoken to him for a while. Now, after our conversation, I will write to him.
Yeah, I would love to get in contact with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Brother Leon, just mark that down, or I'll get the information for you and give it to you, brother.
Appreciate it, brother.
Because we're getting close. We're winding down now in time. So
okay.
I just want to say something to Brother Resnick. Hold on for 1 second.
Get 1 minute, boss.
Oh, that doorbell means we got 1 minute left. Okay, so on behalf of Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself, Brother Peter Resnick, I want to thank you for coming on. All right, well, I'm going to be in contact. I got your number, Peter. I'm going to call you personally. And
you are super welcome.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're super welcome,
a new friend.
Brother.
I'm a
I
new friend. And
brother, so I have a brother now.
That's right. You
and I love brother Michael Collins. I hope he recovers. Let's pray
behalf,
for him.
Because like I said, time, that's why I say I'm starting number two, Peter. On behalf of Leon, my audience, Brother Rashad, I want to say thank you. And also, family, don't forget, support the green tea. Go on my Facebook page. You get a discount, the best green tea in the world. And also, my technician, every Friday, calling the same number, Keeping It Real with Randy J. Sean Jackson. Tune in between 8 and 10 p.m. That's on Friday. So once again, on behalf of Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself, we'll see you next week. And please, anybody who's visiting Pair the Blind, you must tune into this.
They're talking about regrowing eyes. We're talking about protocol, transplant. Tune in next week. It's going to be very, very impactful, almost as impactful as what Brother Resnick brought us tonight. I'd like to say peace and blessings. Take care of yourself out there, and see you next Saturday. Forrest Nance, your host.
My love.